time now for America in the Balance. Brought to you by Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And now your co-hosts, Amanda Teagarden and Don Wyatt.
And welcome, freedom-loving Oklahomans, to another hour of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is one of your hosts, Amanda Teagarden, in studio with Don Wyatt.
Delighted to be here, and nice to have us together again.
Together again. Yeah. After a 1 week break. You did a great job, by the way, co-hosting hosting and co-hosting last week.
You're kind. I enjoyed it.
Last week's guest, if you haven't listened to it already, was an outstanding interview of a Second Amendment attorney. That would be your gun rights.
That's right.
Attorney Doug Friesen, who is an attorney in Oklahoma City. And do you remember his website?
It is. It's yourgunlawyer.com. Very challenging.
That's pretty clear what he defends. And
exactly.
That's a good interview for people who want to understand what to say and do if you are in the unfortunate circumstance of being engaged in a self-defense
right.
shooting.
That's exactly right.
Law-abiding right. self-defense shooting.
Yeah,
a lot of good information.
The punchline on that was something like, the Constitution gives you the right to own a gun, but you'd need Doug if you use it. I kind of like the plan ahead to the day when you might actually have to use a weapon and what the ramifications of that will be and how to prepare for it so that your family is properly protected.
There's a lot of good information there. Our website, we have a couple of websites. OK Safe website is ok-safe.com. That's ok-safe.com. Our second website is exposinghealthcarereform.com. That's a dead giveaway, isn't it, what that one's about?
It is, and boy, are we getting close to us being exposed to healthcare reform.
Oh, my gosh. Who is looking forward to the enactment, the full rollout of Obamacare?
October 1 will go down in history like December 7 of 1941, I think.
You know, we're talking about exposinghealthcarereform.com. The deadline that Don just mentioned is the one for everybody to begin enrollment. If you haven't got insurance, you've got to pick up some insurance someplace. And the federal insurance exchange is not ready, so anticipate a lot of frustration on that day because, namely, frankly, the government shouldn't be involved in insurance.
Exactly.
But our third website is StopSmartMetersInOklahoma.org, StopSmartMetersInOklahoma.org. And smart meters is the subject of today's radio show, but before we get to that, Don, what are your websites?
A couple quick ones from the Tulsa 912 Project. We have a website simply called Tulsa912Project.com. The 912 are just the numbers 912. And the second website is boondoggleblog.com. That's one that I started and serve as the managing editor for.
We are delighted to have in our studio today, that's good information, by the way, to have, Boondoggle, I love that name, Boondoggle Blah. What does Boondoggle mean?
Boondoggle is useless work paid for with public money.
Oh, we're talking about healthcare again.
Almost everything I can think of.
We have, Don, we're going to talk about smart meters today.
We're going to turn around and talk at our producer, aren't we?
We are very fortunate. We have a very
lucky,
intelligent producer.
We do.
A skilled and talented man named Keith Schenkel, who has agreed to give us some of his expertise, share some of that information that he's taken years to gather. Plus, he has a background in this kind of work, and so he understands what is going on with the smart meters and the technology behind it. Plus, he has some theories on what the end objective is.
He does.
And for those who are not familiar with the smart meters, and the lake is a digital meter that the United States is engaged in is across the country in different states, different utility companies are, including in Canada and other countries, are installing, taking down the analog meter on your house, which is the one, the
little
meter
with
the dials on
That's
it that
right.
you could read. Looks like
right.
little clocks across there,
yeah.
the dials, and your meter is read once a month by your friendly utility representative and the meter reader. And taking those down to put in a digital meter And you can tell that it's a smart meter. It will have a digital read, and it will be pulsing an electromagnetic field every few seconds as it reads the energy consumption inside of your house.
Yep.
There's all kinds of health effects related to electronic being exposed to electromagnetic field.
Right.
People are getting sick. The utility companies are denying that people are getting sick.
18 states have decided to either stop them, outlaw them, or otherwise restrict them. So this is a movement that is attracting attention.
It should be attracting attention. The global smart grid is what's being rolled out. And the key component is to have this meter, this particular kind of meter, on every single business and home.
That's right.
So that a digital and an instant read can be taken of the energy consumption within that particular building or structure. Well, it's also surveilling every type of appliance you have in your house.
They can tell who's there and what they're doing.
What time of the day.
Exactly.
People are home. What kind of a computer you have, what kind of air conditioner you've got.
Refrigerator, washing machine, dryer.
Everything.
Everything.
A thief's dream of information. The other thing that's happening that's related to this is not just electricity. It is also such things as water and gas.
And gas.
Well, these things are emitting a signal off of your house to a tower that will be somewhere in your city or your town, and that signal is collected and it's transmitted back to the utility company.
Right.
So you've got these mesh grids going on all over the United States in these towns and communities. It's related to seeing these towers. Well, our guest today is Keith Schenkel.
We are bathed in a virtual bath of radiation, and that's where we're headed with that.
But if you can't see it, it can't hurt you.
That's right.
That's why those X-ray technicians wear those lead shields.
Yeah. They didn't at first, though, by the way.
No, and people lost kidneys over that.
They used to sell radium in bottles for people to use medicinally. It didn't work out too well, but...
What happened to those people?
They died.
Oh, no problem.
I'm sorry, but that's a classic example of misunderstanding technology, and we've got it going again.
Well, didn't the Russians use, during the Cold War, weren't they aiming microwaves onto the American embassy in Russia?
The embassy was bathed, and they had two ambassadors that died, and 16 women developed breast cancer and a number of other ill effects, no pun intended. It made people sick in the embassy. And they didn't bother to disclose it to the employees of the embassy for 10 years after they knew it.
Well, what's the problem?
Yeah,
let's put it on everybody's house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Keith, welcome to our show.
Hello.
Good to hear from you. You're going to have to say more than hello.
Okay. I'm glad to be here.
You're the guest, and we're glad you're here today. So there's other names for smart meters. There's the AMR, which is automatic meter reading. AMR. What is the R?
Actually, readings. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's automatic meter reading.
Yeah. I think most of the government documents you'll see is AMI for advanced meter infrastructure.
Right.
Because it is the whole, it's not just the meter, it's the infrastructure for reading it and the collecting the signals, the data collection.
Yes.
So it is an infrastructure.
The infrastructure is every bit as important as the meter itself.
Right. And these are no longer just passive collectors of data. They are developing the infrastructure to give them control functions as well.
Yes, control goes both directions.
Right.
All right. Well, let's get started here. Do you want to start with what's your background and how you came to be interested in this particular subject?
You asked me to. No,
this is a comedy hour.
I won't say where I work.
You don't work at all.
High tech company.
And they asked me to look into a situation where we had some interference in some of our equipment, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And now, smart meters did not end up being the cause of this interference, but it was very coincidental that the project rolling out where I was interested in had also just rolled out smart meters. And so it was natural for me to look for causes that corresponded with that timeline.
Suspicious coincidence.
Yeah. And so I got to looking into smart meters then, and I got paid for it, which is nice.
So when you're saying you're looking into it, you're looking at it into it from the technology, the systems part of it, not just the
right.
The meter
for,
itself.
For me, it was the technical aspects of it, but it didn't take more than a few clicks on the internet to realize that this was a much bigger problem than just a technology issue.
So there was interference on the line, let's say interfering with signals.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Now, let me be clear. The smart meters were not the cause of that. That was something else.
Right.
Okay. But smart meters are emitting a signal.
Yes.
Along the airwaves.
Yes.
Signals.
Many signals.
How many signals?
Currently, each smart meter is going to have a transmitter in it.
Two
transmitters. But the problem, in addition to that, is that there's network protocols out there. One's called Zigbee.
Right.
The intention is to
spelled
have every
Z-I-G-B-E-E.
By the way. And the intention is to have every device in your home communicate wirelessly. So what you've just done is dramatically increase the number of transmitters in your home for RF energy.
Right. And the protocol that they use ends up relaying signals from smart meter to smart meter in a lot of these network structures, too. So
yeah.
That they're transmitting not just information about your home, but all of the information from your neighbors is filtering down through your meter.
Yeah, and that's called a mesh network.
Exactly.
For reliability.
Right.
When you were saying all these things that are communicating with each other, this includes all the appliances within a home. Let's put this within the context of a home. The same thing is applying to businesses, but for our listeners and for just for the sake of the show, let's say it's within the home. So we have appliances that are, let's say they're now required to be energy efficient or Energy Star appliances,
right.
And we have moved over the last decade toward a lot of high tech equipment inside a home, from a flat screen TV,
right.
Remote controls. You have
cameras,
computers.
You got remote control thermostats. You've got air conditioners, also remote control by the thermostat. You got dryers and washers, dishwashers.
I think one of the draws that they intend to use to get people more willing to adopt this is the home automation type things. I want to make sure I turned off my iron.
Right.
When I left the house,
right.
Or I want to make sure the stove is off, so I can just whip out my iPhone and check that out.
Yep.
Buy an app on your phone. An app is short for application that's on your phone, and it would be an icon or an image that's on the phone.
Right.
You press that, and it takes you access to something within your home, for instance,
right.
That could remotely. I've seen Westlock and other lock companies already have adopted the technology for electronic front door locks.
Right. So that you can remotely lock or unlock it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Your cars, same concept with this
right.
OnStar that
somebody
up in the satellite signal can lock and unlock your car
right.
Or stop the engine while you're driving.
That too.
That kind of thing.
The problem I see with that is just sheer privacy issue.
It's a surveillance and privacy problem.
Yes, you have surveillance going on of your home. In order for these cost benefits to be realized, if you have done any reading on the internet, you know that there hasn't been anyone whose bills has been reduced.
That's right. Nobody's bill went down.
The reason is because they're not taking advantage, so to speak,
right.
Of the benefits, so to speak, of the smart grid. So if they want to subscribe to a new market position of assisting a customer in reducing their energy consumption, and let's be clear on that, all of the policy papers defined energy efficiency not in getting more work done with less energy or the same work done with less energy, but simply reducing consumption of energy.
Right. The goal is the reduction of consumption, isn't it?
Yes.
That sounds like sustainable development.
It is a lot like that. And that's because it all comes from the same place.
Yeah. So they're going to have all of these new devices that you can interface with. And every one of those is, I'm sure, going to come with a privacy policy,
mm-hmm.
where you have to give up your data to that company in order to realize the benefits that that company can provide for you.
I have come to the realization that the privacy policies are meant for the software company's benefit and the technology company's benefit, and is that you are relinquishing all of your rights to that data and their use of it, which is third party, and their third party's use to it. And really, the protection is in for their intellectual property. That's what I think it's more engaged toward. Yeah,
well, it's certainly partly that, but it's also to protect them as they distribute or share or sell that information to others who are very interested in it. They will become a unlimited conduit to Madison Avenue.
Before we get too far into the conversation, we mentioned that this reduction in consumption of energy is tied, sounds like, Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. And I'm going to read a quote from Maurice Strong. And actually, this was one of your quotes that you provided in one of your research papers, Keith, at a research summit. And this is a quote from Maurice Strong, who at the time was the Secretary General of the United Nations in 1992 at the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro. The United States participated, along with almost all the other
from
countries.
Which Agenda 21 was hatched.
Which is a 40-chapter book explaining what we're going to be doing in the 21st century. Here's the quote. Current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class involving high meat intake, the use of fossil fuels, appliances, home and work air conditioning, and suburban housing are not sustainable.
That's right. We've got to get rid of all that evil stuff.
So it's everything that counts as evidence of success in a civilized living has all got to go away.
The reason that people are desperate to come here needs to be eradicated, I guess.
Hey, man, I want air conditioning. That's what they come here for. No, I'm kidding. They come here for liberty. Of course, that's going away. But and the next quote that you have here is, the carbon trading market does not exist yet, but the security requirements will probably be similar to the retail electricity market. And that's another quote. So we have learned in all the years of research that we have done that really government does not care about people or children or cats or dogs. And so when they say that we're going to be doing something for the benefit of, and we're going to reduce this, or we're going to do this to protect the health, safety, and privacy, or whatever, it's the exact opposite.
Right.
It is for some other purpose that will involve growing government or the power and reach of some sort of a third party or a private sector. I've never thought that the smart grid was making, or the object was to reduce my utility bill. Because that doesn't benefit a utility company.
And it's not even for the purpose of reducing the operating cost of the utility company, which is the way they typically pitch it.
It was a mature industry.
Right.
They already know how to deliver electricity.
Sure.
Yep. The entire smart grid initiative is the process of breaking up a mature business model that virtually all of the power companies have the same, they call it a silo model of delivery.
Traditional
because
business
that has evolved into the most efficient way to get electricity from a generator to a house.
Right.
They have broken that up and forced companies to divide up their companies into several different categories and fractured those companies and inserted markets, inserted middlemen in between each of those categories. I'm also very concerned that in addition to that, they've inserted a network in between all of those different
departments. So they've separated out the pricing structure from the production of the energy.
Right.
Pricing and control.
And control are separated.
Yes.
What's the objective? Again, say that
again. To remove control from the power generating companies and the consumers. A cybersecurity paper that is the guidelines for the network infrastructure of the smart grid. All through that paper, all three volumes, they assign control of different functions to an organization. It'll say the organization is responsible for this or that or the other, but they never define what the organization or who the organization is. Now, how can that be that you go through thousands of very boring documentation and never manage to come up with who is actually responsible for management of the network of the smart grid?
They have an answer, they just choose not to disclose it, is probably the truth.
Well, is that a boilerplate document, and the organization could be whichever organization picks up that model?
It's talking about the network infrastructure for the entire grid.
And it divides that up
into partitions for different functions.
Is that grid dedicated to a country, or this grid crosses national boundaries?
Well, they're all interoperable, but this paper was put out by the NIST, National Institutes of
Standards and Technology.
Technology? Yeah. Okay. It's an NIST paper, so therefore it's United States.
That used to be called the National Bureau of Standards, NBS, and they changed their name.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one.
Well, wait a minute. Okay. If that's the National Institute of Standards for Technology.
Standards and Technology.
Standards
and
Technology.
In
the
U.S.
In the U.S.
Right.
Riddle me this then, Riddler. We're out. The mayor of San Diego signed a memorandum of understanding with Belgorod, Russia, which is a country in Russia.
That's right.
Russia for the smart grid development. So we already have leakage over the border. In fact, it's crossed an ocean. So,
Countries with less liberty than ours are already further along than ours in installing smart meters and smart grids because they're not getting the resistance or the opposition that is emerging here. That ought to tell you as much as you need to know about this thing.
It's an interoperable smart grid. I've seen papers from South Korea, from Russia, from all
China.
Over Europe, China.
You must have it from Canada because they're further advanced.
Yep.
Poor Canada is further advanced with the installation of smart meters across the country. Canada is getting a lot of pushback from the Canadians. Go Canadians, and they're pushing back against those smart meters. They have several experts up there who are ex-military personnel. Intelligence background who understand the dangers of EMF passing through people's homes and bodies and neighborhoods.
Yep.
So what's the whole point? They're not doing this for fun. This is going to have to be for profit.
This is strictly about money. With all of the credit default swaps going on and collapsing, they need a new bubble to create, and that bubble will be energy. By inserting all of these different markets, these different middlemen, it's not just one middleman as far as markets. It's different. They're fracturing those companies so that there's a new middleman between each different function in those companies.
This is like Enron.
And so it's, yes, very much like Enron.
This is the Enron model of inserting a middleman for the both the supply and the selling.
At each step in the chain, actually. Yeah.
So both suppliers and sellers had to go through Enron.
And a whole lot of new markets will be created to make little slices of profit that don't add value to anything. And the end result will be the customer pays or the customer does without.
That's right.
One or the other.
And will pay more than they are paying now, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, the customer will pay more for the same amount of energy.
Right.
And so they're calling this more efficient.
That is, by definition,
more
efficient, by their definition.
And one of their objections, if you push back, is that, well, we can't afford to maintain two separate systems. It's less expensive for the power company to deliver power through these new smart grids. That was part of the rebuttal that was addressed by one of our earlier guests, Joe Esposito, on this subject online. And that can be found in StopSmartMetersInOklahoma.org. So I encourage you to go out. There's a lot of good reading there on this subject.
I think we've archived that radio interview with Joe Esposito and some other people. We've talked to Kay Beach and Vicki Davis, both on this same subject. So if you go to truthinfocus.org/radio, you can go back through our archives and listen to those audio files. Great interviews with all three of those people.
That's right.
All right, Keith, that's the music indicating the end of the first half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. Our guest today is Keith Schenkel, and we're discussing smart meters and what they're really going to be doing here with our whole smart grid. Stick around. We'll be right back after a short interlude.
seen nothing yet. When hydro pours this time of use, I'll learn how high a bill can get. And I cannot help but wonder, is meter smart for who? Maybe for Cisco systems, but not for me and you. My day will begin at midnight, power will be cheap. To bathe and cook and clean, I'll have to say goodbye to sleep. Hydro forced me to conserve so they can sell it down the line. The rates they'll pay in the U.S. of A are a whole lot more than mine. Once the smart meters transmit, Californians want headaches and tinnitus, and sleeplessness won't remit. My house with smart appliances will microwave me on slow bake. Hydro will turn them down at will, so my power they can take. Dr. Perry Kendall says the meters do no harm. Dr. David Carpenter says Perry's spinning a yarn. Carpenter says the question to be asked is, where's the evidence they're safe? Long-term elevated RF is dangerous. Hydro's lying to your face. And I cannot help but wonder, is meter smart for who? Maybe Tracy McVicker, but not for me and you.
Welcome back to the second half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is Amanda Teagarden with Don Wyatt.
Happy to be here. I enjoy that music, the smart meter blues.
I found that that's a great song, and she did a good job explaining exactly what the downstream
she really did.
energy impact is going to be for us in the United States. We're going to pay more than they are in Canada. She mentioned all of the anyway, that's available. It's called the Smart Meter Blues. It's available on YouTube, and you can catch it.
It's called the Canadian version, I think, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And she mentioned some of the key players in the smart grid, Keith, which is Cisco, GE, General Electric, Whirlpool. I got a Whirlpool appliance story for you here. and Hydro, when they're talking about Hydro, Canadian Hydroelectric Hydropower Association is who provides. They have a lot of water up in Canada, yeah. So it's hydropower.
It's like the TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority, all over Canada.
All over Canada. So they are, that's who she's referring to. And that song goes on for quite a long time, so there's other things that are in there. And according to the blurb on YouTube, multiple people wrote the song, that's a very talented blues. You know, she's sitting in a living room on a...
Yep, just playing her guitar and singing.
Anyway, I really admire people who can sing.
Yeah, that's good.
Whirlpool appliances. I don't know if this is. We'll have to check with our attorney to see if I can say this. They're crap. They are really bad appliances. And we've had, when my husband and I got married, I had a Sears Kenmore washing machine, and we had that thing for 20 years. Since then, maybe 19 years, because since then, we have had two more washing machines that each have lasted 2 years.
Perfect time.
And so they have this new drum design, and the drums are swaying between four rods that are mounted in the corners. So it's a free-floating drum here, and the spinner, the agitator in the center is still supposed to work. That's a lousy design. It's very hard to get away from it, and a lid lock.
These are still top loads, right?
Top load, lid lock, which you can't defeat. Well, you could, but we didn't defeat it. I wanted to. This is the kind of washing machine you want to take a hammer to.
There you go.
And the hot, they have an override in it. So the hot, if you put it on hot to do your whites,
right,
it has an override on it, so it will not get above a certain degree. And if it does, it puts in cold water to bring it down to tepid, so your whites don't get white. Because it
protects
it's not
you from yourself.
That thing's going to the dumpster. But anyway, I'm going to tell you that, again, this is our recommendation. We just bought a Speed Queen, and we paid a little bit more, but I expect that this to be the last washing machine I buy for many, many years, maybe even a couple of decades. So buy Speed Queen. The lid does not lock, and it's a normal, regular, old-fashioned,
is it a high-powered top-load
washing machine, just like we used to make in the United States before everything got all stupid with smart stuff.
Yeah, once upon a time we had clean clothes.
Someone who has fixed many, many, many things, simple is better.
Yeah.
This is just a great, I mean, it's, we're just, it's like, we're both going through the line. We do a lot of little loads because we're down to just three people in the house, a lot of little loads, and so we're all comparing. It's like, you know what? I just did two loads in the time it took us to do one load.
Yeah.
And so this is a topic of conversation at the Tea Garden House. It's like, do you not believe how fast this washing machine is? And the hot is hot.
That's funny.
Anyway, so Keith, let's get back to the smart grid. I didn't check behind it. I don't think it has, it might have this
Energy Star thing.
If it was made after 2013, then it has at least an interface.
Yep. Those are mandatory now.
Yeah.
Well, this sucker has hot water. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. May not. Once they take over, they probably have the
ability. How do we defeat this, Keith? That's the real question people are wanting to ask. We probably cannot answer because we just said your last name.
It won't be as simple as people are wanting a solution for, probably. For one thing, I would pose the question, what right does anyone have to transmit a radio signal from your property without your permission?
Don't you give permission, though, when you sign up? It's a contract that you have with your utility company. I mean, that's a contract.
They don't have a contract with your washing machine. Your washing machine is going to be communicating digitally over your power lines or wirelessly through your house. So you own the copper from the power meter to your home, and you own, theoretically, which that's a whole nother discussion, but your home is your castle. You should have say-so over what gets transmitted from your home. That's my position on that.
Yep.
All right.
That's a legitimate position, but I wouldn't be surprised if this were challenged in court in 10 years to find that the government's got just as much right to invade our home on our electric system as they've got to invade our health care.
We have what's playing in the background.
I would agree with that, and I would disagree on that presumption.
Yeah.
There are all these things talking to each other digitally. There is something out there called the Internet of Things. Does this play into that? Because things without your initiating it, inanimate objects are communicating data without you doing anything.
Yes. It's telling, this might not directly answer your question, but it's telling that they used IP version 6 as the
IP communication meaning Internet Protocol
version 6, which means that the number of individually addressable items, whether that's a sensor or your smart meter, you know, a sensor hanging off of your smart meter, whatever, is in the trillions.
That's right. Big numbers. Big numbers.
Huge numbers. Yeah. So the design, if they wanted, because of so much data going over this, if they simply wanted your smart meter to be the end result, they would have used IP version 4.
That's right.
Which still has 4 billion, somewhat under 4 billion individually addressable mailboxes, if you want to call it.
Yeah.
We're not likely to have more than 4 billion smart meters in the near future. Not that many people. Now, that tells me that their intentions were very long-term and extremely pervasive in what they planned to do with this network.
Yep. I think that's the only conclusion you could draw.
Define for the listeners what the infrastructure is. What are all the components of the infrastructure?
Okay, your smart meter will transmit a signal, and some of them are transmitted over the electric lines.
Existing lines.
Most of the rural meters transmitted over the electric lines to a central hub, and then that central hub will transmit that wirelessly or over fiber to another concentration or aggregating hub, and it'll keep going until it gets to a central data center.
Right.
Now, in town, almost all of those transmit it wirelessly directly from the meter, and so there'll be one to transmit. There'll be one transmitter to transmit your smart meter information to the aggregating hub, and then there'll be another one to transmit information from your smart meter to the things in your house. Now, we're talking a future with just an extremely high level of RF
radiation
noise, if you want to call it. Just noise. Radiation just smothering everything.
That's but people cannot see it. It's not a visible.
You can't smell it. You can't taste it and can't touch it.
What you just stated, though, what maybe not everybody understands this, but it is a two-way communication system. It's a modem, in essence, inside the smart meter. It's not just sending information.
No, it is bidirectional. Information goes upstream.
Mm-hmm.
Control goes downstream.
Right.
Now, there's protocols called climate talk protocols. Right now, they're on version 2. What is very disconcerting to me is all of these new devices are remotely upgradable. They're software.
That's right.
Okay.
They call them over the wire programmable. There's a term for that, OTAP or something like that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. I don't remember the proper terminology.
Anyway, they can update them, give them a whole new generation without you even knowing it.
Yes. And so it's updatable firmware, they call it.
Right.
And that has two major implications. One is they can control what the new provisioning for your air conditioner is. You don't have control of that anymore once you get one of these systems. Now, Climate Talk version 2 does not give them direct control of your thermostat.
Spell Climate Talk. Is it Talk, T-A-L-K?
Yes, Climate Talk.
Climate Talk. All right.
Yep. Now, the problem is that is remotely configurable. They can change that at will. My second concern is that this is a hacker's dream.
Oh, yeah.
You can go to Google Zigbee, and if you are an electronics nerd, and I apologize to all of the electronics nerds out there, I am one myself.
Yep.
If you are interested in building gadgetries and fixing things and so forth, or you're interested in something more malicious, you can go and get a test bed system, and you can download the Zigbee operating system in Linux, and you can develop your own platform for sensors for yourself.
Yep.
Or you can, more maliciously, use that platform to figure out how to control remotely other smart meters.
So, if you were a malicious hacker, you could buy this equipment, and then you could control your neighbor's home?
Yes. What I'm concerned about. Okay. Now, there are lots of different levels of encryption. Okay? It's not simple. But the problem is it's extremely complex. And in complexity comes vulnerabilities.
Right.
Now, what would happen in August if someone turned on everyone's hot water heater at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? We would have a shutdown of our electrical grid.
Right.
What would happen middle of February in a snowstorm if everyone turned on all the hot water heaters at once? We would have another shutdown of the electrical grid. Both of those are life-threatening situations that are It's just a matter of one person figuring out how to do one thing and replicating that a million times.
You're kind of reminded me of the brownouts in California, which was manipulated by Enron.
Yeah. Well, you could fear, and justly so, a terrorist hacking into our power system or our grid to provide us power. They could just as easily trigger a disaster by triggering the control signals for a whole bunch of businesses or a whole bunch of home appliances, overload the system and shut it down.
Right. Our grid is no longer a large set of wires coming from a generator station.
Right.
It is an extremely large number of sensing devices and switches.
And
you can turn on and off anything you want.
Electronic protocols. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, just imagine if we're going toward this more densely living situation, the densification of the urban core, high-rise buildings in downtown that have a lot of people inside.
Stack and pack.
Stack them and pack them buildings. So you have a lot of people in one building, for instance. Let's say there's 1,000 people in there. Then this malicious hacker does something that affects every single person that's in there, 1,000 people instead of just a house out in the suburb with 2 people in it or 5 people in it.
Well, potentially it's considerably worse than that.
Exactly.
If you can get onto the backbone of that grid, there's no limit to what you can affect within that grid.
Yeah,
the whole downtown.
You could shut down a city or a state.
Yes. You could shut down everything.
Well, this sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this.
Between the complexity,
I don't remember voting on this.
Replacing a dumb analog meter with an extremely complex electronic meter, we have taken something that is resilient and replaced it with something extremely brittle.
Well,
and that
said.
Does not seem a wise choice.
But you can make a lot of money on the market if you are able to manipulate and invest in the anticipated increase or decrease of energy consumption in anticipation of, let's say it's the stock market. A few of us in here actually participated or listened to an online webinar on virtual power plants. And virtual meaning it's all digital. It's not a real power plant. It is literally something that is delivered through technological means and controllable through technology. And one of the presenters was from Cisco, and he was talking about derivatives in the energy marketplace. So he was combining the technology of the smart system with the economy, with economics and policy, governmental policy, right. And all these things. This is the new blending together of those three sectors into something called gridonomics.
That's right.
So it's the economics of the smart grid. And in that discussion, or one of the other presenters was also talking about this, but tying in to NOAA, the weather system, the existing
right.
legacy system called NOAA, which is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric.
Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, I
yes.
think.
Yes. No, NOAA, anyway. Which is the series of satellites and communication systems that are existing that help predict such things as hurricanes and tornadoes
right.
and future weather events. To tie that in to the stock markets and have that as a sophisticated satellite system of communication on weather events
right.
and in anticipation of adjusting the price in anticipation of a heat wave in California or Colorado or New Mexico or Arizona to spike up. They could base their investments, whether to buy, sell, or trade, based on data that they had secured from NOAA now that the prices are separated from the actual cost of production.
Right.
In anticipation of people using their air conditioning, jack the prices up and right. make an investment in it.
Yeah,
I said that very badly, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yep. And two or three key points. It's not based on this would be a price model not based on scarcity or the cost of production, but based on demand or usage and subject to totally other considerations for its control. And there's some real concerns about that. For one thing, that could easily be fall into the price gouging role, which a lot of states already make illegal in the case of hurricanes and stuff. If a guy raises the price of water or gasoline at his local convenience market because they've got a hurricane coming, he can be arrested. But I guess they'll protect the big utility companies because they're coming in over state.
What they were saying in anticipation of, to know ahead of time, 24 hours ahead of time, which would give them enough time, as an investor, enough time to know whether to what to buy in their particular market, whether it would be increased demand on the wind power or water power or wherever. So you could actually direct what your investment decisions were based on having 24 hours notice ahead of time.
We also need to mention quickly that a lot of this problem is driven by artificial scarcity of our energy system because of the extreme pressure that environmental groups have brought to bear on building power plants, shutting down existing power plants that burn coal, trying to eliminate any new coal plants, eliminating any nuclear plants. So they're basically trying to starve the country for energy by restricting the production.
An important consideration is comparing United States to Europe. Windmills are notorious for variable energy production.
Right.
And that's a nightmare if you want to plan anything.
Right.
You just can't plan the wind. Now, in Europe, those companies that produce wind power have to buffer their power through a battery system.
Right.
So it provides a steady flow of energy. In the United States, we are such dupes, if you want to put it that way,
that's right,
that we are allowing our congressmen to give markets control of our air conditioners and hot water heaters so
instead
that they can claim that wind energy is cheaper than it really is.
Right.
Now, I'm a proponent of wind energy, but the problem with wind energy is it needs to be buffered.
That's right.
Now, that cost should be borne by
the producer
of the wind power.
Not the consumer.
Not the consumer.
Right.
The other issue, it's a lot more than just when we say markets. It's not just one market that's going to be competing for shaving off that price or shaving off a little slice of profit off of each transaction. There's at least three different markets that are going to be participating in that. You have the energy markets, then you're going to have all of these middlemen that are each going to be trying to shave off a profit off of their piece of that pie. Well, those are different systems that it's inevitable that they're going to operate just like our stock market does now, where the stock market, people don't trade anything anymore. It's almost all of it done automatically.
Right.
Now, that is setting us up for what's called a black swan event. Mm-hmm. And you might have heard that in talks about economics and so forth. The power system is much, much more vulnerable to that. If people decide, because the stock market went down one day, that they're worried about energy prices and they all just decide to stop using their air conditioner the next day, that's going to cascade an effect that all of these other automated systems can't account for.
That's true.
And so there's all kinds of unknown unknowns.
That's right.
When you put all of these different systems together and all of them want to shave off a piece of profit off of that.
Just in case our listeners don't know, and I didn't until I just now looked it up, what a definition of a black swan event. And this is from Investopedia. It says, an event or occurrence that deviates beyond what is normally expected of a situation and that would be extremely difficult to predict. This term was popularized by Nassim Nicholas Taleb, a financial professor and former Wall Street trader. Huh. So it's a random and unexpected event.
Well, it's an event triggered
by... It's not unexpected. It's just random.
Yeah.
Random,
yeah.
Okay.
And triggered by events that you would not have been able to take into account or consideration.
Yeah. When you have 500 new middlemen pop up and each one wants to automate, build an algorithm to design what's going to make them the most profit off of their little piece of the market, and they all operate sequentially and in parallel, kind of a hodgepodge.
Right.
You can't predict what's going to happen.
That's true.
So it does make it more vulnerable because if one person fails, it affects everything else.
Yes.
So it is less robust.
Much, much more so.
It's complex.
Brittle.
It's very, very foolish.
Brittle is a good word. I like your word you used earlier in the show about it. I think it does make it brittle.
So what do we do?
I think what I'm doing
maybe
is
that's too big a question. I'm sorry to put you in the spot.
I'm going to be getting a windmill. Well, actually, I have a windmill. And
get off the grid.
I'm getting off the grid.
Yeah.
So one thing I would recommend personally is people talk to me and they want to know what to do with their money because they're scared. And I would consider if energy prices just doubled, factor that into the cost of a solar or wind system, depending upon where you live. Wind power is nowhere near as cost effective as what the wind mill companies would have you believe.
Right.
But factor those things in and see if some of your savings would not be better spent in the long term on replacing your power from the power company with something you own and you control.
Would natural gas generators fit into that mix?
It could.
As well?
I've got a windmill because I'm going to have a tower.
There
anyway,
you go. That's right.
But just consider what an alternative power source would be, if that would be cost effective compared to a 0% interest in the bank.
Or near zero.
Or near zero.
Yeah.
In the that seminar that we listened to online, the webinar that we listened to online, one of the presenters was on storage systems, mass storage. So this is batteries, what the public would call batteries. And they told of the Hurricane Sandy that hit the West Coast, New York, and some other places.
That would be
New
the
Jersey.
East Coast.
Did I say West Coast? Sorry, I do know.
Okay.
It's the East Coast.
It's the other one.
It's the other one. It is the East Coast. And there were many buildings that were without power, but there were some that were little islands of power. And that particular building had its own power generating system mm-hmm. within the building. So mm-hmm. all those people had lights. They had electricity in a sea of darkness. Mm-hmm. And part of that self-generating power included the battery backups. Now, these are larger systems, mm-hmm. but they are something that you can do yourself. You store the energy, and then you can use it when there is lack of energy or an interruption in the supply of the energy. All kinds of batteries. Now, just think about where you, as a citizen, could get one. We've got car batteries that, which I found out this, is that end up in a salvage yard or someplace else, but they have residual energy, some residual usage. So there's something to be considered here as far as reclaiming car batteries. Mm-hmm. And using the cells or the remaining energy that's available in a car battery. Now, we're all going to be a bunch of rednecks, aren't we? But but this is something that I'm with you. The mass storage and the energy storage systems, what we call batteries, I think is a very interesting subject. We probably need to at some point in time have a guest on to explain how this works.
We should.
There's a fellow named Steve Harris that is on the internet that people might look up.
Steve Harris.
Or that you might contact. He's an expert. He worked for Chrysler on fuel cells and so forth.
Fuel cells. So here you are. You've got a windmill that's generating power, and then you're going to store that.
Yep.
You could have solar panels on the roof of your home that gets the energy from the sun, and then you have to store it someplace. So then you have the smart meter, and the smart grid spikes the energy. You could go off the grid, not all the time, but sometimes. Right. So you could still supply your appliances and maybe run your air conditioner and your refrigerator and the lights. Mm-hmm. So this is how people have to start thinking.
Yeah, what I'm planning to do is store up most of the energy that I use or collect during the day, that I generate during the day, and store that in batteries. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to kick that sucker on and pump that energy back into the grid when the price is four times or five times what it would be at midnight.
One of those peak usage times.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I'll be able to, if energy is cheap at midnight, I'll be able to store it. If it's expensive during the day, I'll be able to sell it.
Buy cheap and sell high.
Buy cheap, sell high.
Yeah.
And if nothing else fails, I have my own power source that I can just turn everything off and say, y'all go your own way. I'm right here doing fine.
Is there enough money in that to actually make a living off of it, or is it
It's not going to make a profit, but it will offset the cost of the system probably in the long term.
So you get your insurance for a lot less cost because there's an offsetting income you get from it.
Right. I provide resiliency and independence.
There you go.
And my power will be buffered from the smart meter. So the smart meter is just going to see a load that's always on always off.
And it probably would have the effect of masking off all of the electronic signatures of your internal devices by serving as that buffer.
Right.
That's a good thing. So you kind of
But that's not a system that just anyone
can
go out and whip together. So, but maybe it's a market out there that someone might want to get into. A new market to go along with all the other markets.
There you go.
This is all part of the self-sufficiency ideas, the concepts that people need to be considering.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like back to the future. Here we are, as we advance in the 21st century, we're going back in time in a lot of regards.
Yep. You almost feel like we have to begin planning for the reforestation so that we have wood to burn.
All right. Well, Keith, you've been an outstanding guest. We'll have to have you back. How about next week as producer?
Okay, next week.
No, we'll have you every single week. You are, I'm just kidding you, you are a wealth of information, and I don't think we even touched the tip of the iceberg on what you know and what you could tell us about. Help us to understand the financial impact and where this is going to go globally with the finances and part of this country's debt.
Well, if I can add one more thing, though.
Sure, go ahead.
The smart grid is not just about electricity. The smart meter also measures water and gas and anything else they want to measure.
That's right.
And it already does those functions in a lot of places. So they're building a network that controls the means of modern survival.
Very well put.
So
I think we need to have his mic turned on all the time. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea, Don. Just chime in anytime you want, Keith.
Thank you, Keith.
Okay, I like silence for myself.
All right. You're a good guest.
It's always good to listen to what your guests and you all have to say.
We are at the end of this hour of America in the Balance, and our guest today has been Keith Schenkel talking about smart meters and where do we go from here and a lot of other things. It was a very interesting show. We thank you for listening, and be sure to check out the archives of the other interviews that we've done. There's a lot of good information there, and maybe some of it will be helpful to
you. Particularly Joe Esposito and Vicki Davis, I think.
Yes. And Doug Friesen, if you want to have it done.
Yep, that's right.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening. This is Amanda Teagarden with Don Wyatt, and we say may God bless you.